Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
Well, AIB, proud sponsors of both club and county, is launching its sixth season as the sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship with Kerry's Sean O'Shea, Laois's Ross Munley, Tyrone's Conor McKenna and Killian O'Connor of Mayo. I'm delighted to say that Killian, who's also the leading scorer in championship history, joins us now. Killian, how are you getting on?
Good now, can't complain, hope all's well.
Well, look, it's the start of championship. It feels slightly different when it's championship week and we're heading into the winter months as opposed to heading into the summer. But I would imagine this trip to Carrig-on-Shannon to face Leitrim this weekend probably focuses the minds a bit, and it's a chance to very quickly bounce back after your relegation in the league last weekend.
Yeah, that's exactly what it provides us with. I suppose it was disappointing on Sunday, but being championship week, you know, the minds have to turn very quickly to Carrig-on-Shannon and to training tonight and Thursday. And, you know, people are just thinking about trying to get into the team for the weekend and putting on a good performance on Sunday.
Is that a good thing sometimes to have a game come round as quickly as this? Because in normal circumstances, the National Football League would have finished in April. It could have been late May or early June before you're back out for championship. You've got weeks to dwell on what's happened during the National Football League. Well, in many ways, you just have to dust yourself off and get back onto the focus for this coming weekend.
Yeah, I think in our situation, it's definitely a positive. You know, we probably don't really want to dwell too long on parts of that game Sunday anyway. You know, we just took the positives from it, had a quick review of some of the things we could have done better. But it's hard to believe after waiting so long now the championship is here. So I guess there's a bit of a buzz with that. You know, training will be fairly tasty this week with a lot of competition for places. And yeah, I think it kind of suits us that it's coming thick and fast.
Supporters will probably be wondering, Killian, are you going to be fit to play this coming weekend? You picked up a bit of a knock ahead of the game last week. Was that your right leg that kept you out of the game?
Yeah, it was. It was just my quad was sore after the week's training, and I was hoping to make the game just on kind of medical advice. The physios weren't happy to clear me to play, so that was frustrating, but hoping to train fully this week and get myself back in contention for the championship game, fingers crossed.
Was it a case of you knew all week, because I believe you picked up the injury against Galway the week before, did you know you were going to be touch and go, or was it a setback pretty close to the game?
It was probably touch and go. I was doing some modified training during the week and pushing hard to try and get into the manager's thoughts and the selector's thoughts, but just kind of had a late fitness test and didn't quite feel right. So I guess when you're not 100%, there's guys ready there to step in and do the job instead of you. So you have to just go with the medical advice, and being in such a short season as well, so condensed, you know, you can't really risk any injury or you're going to be gone.
Is that ever in the back of your mind, as you say, an aggravated injury, given particularly the nature of this championship being straight knockout from here? You know, if you pick something up that's multiple weeks, in all likelihood, that's the end of your season.
Yeah, I think it probably is in everyone's heads, but the way you manage that, or I manage it anyways, the recovery after training is so important. You know, your diet, nutrition, hydration, everything has to be perfect, because if you turn up to training tight or, you know, not hydrated, you run the risk of a soft tissue injury. Normally, a little strain might miss a session or two, but the consequences of a small injury now are so big. Everyone is trying to stay injury free, and you know, it's the same for every county. So touch wood, everyone will stay injury free and, you know, be able to offer something.
For you though, I would imagine personally, Killian, given that the game against Galway had ended kind of a 14-month period or so without having an inter-county game, you would have been very keen with Connacht Championship on the horizon to get as many minutes into the legs as you possibly can.
Exactly. I was hoping to test myself against, you know, another, you know, Division One team, high quality, and hopefully acquit yourself well and be full of confidence going into the championship. look, that didn't happen, so can't dwell on it. Need to get as good a week of training in as I can now and measure myself up against the Mayo lads and the Mayo defenders. So, you know, they'll be chomping. They'll be trying to get onto the team. So it'll be a competitive week's training. And I suppose I'll have to make do with that and be as ready as I can next weekend.
Because you were unlucky in a lot of ways. We've all been unlucky with the way this pandemic has played out. But you were just getting back to fitness. I believe you were going to be in contention to play against Galway if that match had been played back in March. And then everything goes into shutdown and you have to wait to get back with your club after that. I'd imagine that must have been hard. You know, you've had a 6 or 7 month layoff and you're just ready to come back in, and next thing the pandemic puts a stop on everything.
Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating, all right. But look, in hindsight, a bit of perspective allows, you know, to realise there was bigger things at stake. You know, the country was going through bigger problems than me missing a couple of league games. So obviously public health and that took priority, and we were happy to go with whatever the government decided. It probably gave me a bit of time to catch up a little bit on the lads and do a bit of extra training and kind of rehab and just different things to stay as healthy as you can whenever it did restart. So, you know, like everybody, you had to just adapt, find the positives, find the opportunities to work on, and, you know, hopefully be ready when it eventually does roll around this Sunday.
Did you find anything specific to work on during pandemic time? Because loads of players I spoke to said, I had this weakness in my game that I never got a chance to work on because the years just go month on month, and then I'm with my club and back with the county. It's training and matches and that's the focus. I never really get a chance to look at my individual skills. Was there anything individual that you were able to work on during that break period then?
There probably was. It's kind of hard to quantify, but I think we had a lot more time as a forward unit to have conversations with each other about, you know, movement patterns and maybe habits that each of us have and how we can use that in games. You know, who likes to turn which way and who likes to kick with the inside of the boot or who likes to kick with the outside. Just, it's probably hard to explain, but those small little conversations between forwards, sometimes we don't have time because we're rushing to training or we're rushing away or we have structured team meetings. They don't always flow. So we've had a bit more time to, you know, get things up on the WhatsApp and into the groups or onto the phone and have a call. And I think I've got to know particularly the younger players in the squad a little bit better now.
Because there's a lot of them coming through currently, and it's a case of just trying to get everything now to gel, because you lose the likes of, say, Andy, having been previously a Footballer of the Year, but at the same time, you've got some of these good minor and under 21 players from recent seasons who are now chomping at the bit to become their replacements. It's going to probably take James a little bit of time and the team a little bit of time to click.
Yeah, they've been brilliant. Like that whole influx of young players has kind of given everyone a bit of a kick, because, you know, they're doing so well in training. They're putting, you know, other players in the same positions under pressure. They're forcing that competition. But also, I think they've brought that bit of innocence and energy to the place where they just want to kick ball. They just want to train. They just want to run. And, you know, there's probably a lesson in there for the more established players or the older players that, you know, sometimes you don't need to overthink this and just go out and enjoy yourself. Train as hard as you can. Be as good as you can. And, you know, after that, what maybe will be like, you know. So that's been a breath of fresh air.
Has Andy Moran been missed around the place? We had him on OTBM a few weeks ago. He said, despite how good he looked in club form, if people were watching the games on TV, there was no chance he was going to be convinced. When you're out, he said at the time. Do you miss having him around the place, though, given that he's had such an impact for so many years for you?
Definitely. There's no way you could lose somebody like Andy and not notice the change. He's one of the loudest lads in the dressing room for a start. So that was the first thing, the journeys to and from training, or the crack before training and the warm-up area is a bit quieter. But just in terms of a sounding board, he was a great man for any player in the squad, young or old, to have a chat. And he was a great man to pick up the phone if somebody wasn't playing particularly well or wasn't feeling themselves. Andy would be the first man to notice. And he was great for having those kind of conversations. So that's been a bit of a loss, but, you know, I still chat to Andy fairly regularly, and I'm sure other lads do as well. So we stay in touch, and look, he's involved with the club and he's involved with the 20s. So he's very much still got his finger on the pulse in terms of tactics and football. So, I love checking in with him.
Yeah, we'll follow his coaching career with some interest. When it came to last weekend, James Horne said pretty much directly afterwards that our concern is not our league status at the moment for 2021. It has to be the championship now in the coming weeks. As players, is that how you kind of view it too? I mean, you've had a few years with kind of flirting with relegation and staying up late on in the league. This year is the one that caught you after 23 years. Do you just entirely park that now and genuinely think, right, championship is all that matters. We'll worry about Division 2 next year.
Exactly, exactly. I think with the lack of certainty all year around the championship and the league and games and that, I think it actually forced us to really buy into the whole process mindset, you know, that everyone talks about, but you literally didn't know if there would be a game next week or training next week. So it kind of forced us to just think, all we know for sure is we're training tonight. Let's nail this 90 minutes. Let's really try and improve X, Y, and Z tonight. The thing could be called off tomorrow. So I think our vision or our, you know, our goals were really shortened to just tonight, Thursday, Sunday. Don't look beyond that because nothing is guaranteed. So the Division 2 thing and all that, that's not for now. That'll be, you know, the consequences of Sunday will have to be looked at later. But the turnaround now is so fast. It's about, right, how can we max out this week and be ready for Leitrim? And, you know, reassess on Sunday evening.
How do you feel about a championship year then with no safety net whatsoever? Because once upon a time, you could get caught early in Connacht or something could go wrong along the way and you've one bad performance on a week and, you know, Mayo frequently come through the qualifiers and found themselves back in the front door again. There's no room for any poor performance at all this year.
No, there's not. You know, whoever is successful is going to have to be consistent in all their performances. But yeah, like we've had that experience early in the summer, as you mentioned, a few times where we've had a qualifier in Castlebar or in Limerick or in Ennis or in Thurles where it's like, right, this is it. This is back to the wall. If we don't turn up here, we're gone. And, you know, there's plenty of examples of when we have stood up and we have flirted with danger a few times and come out as winners on those days. So we have a bit of experience with dealing with that white heated championship. And I don't, you know, I think if that doesn't get your juices flowing and if that doesn't get you excited, you know, then nothing will. Really cutthroat, edgy championship football is exactly where you want to be. And I think even the last few months, we've really missed that. And you miss that adrenaline rush. And I think I've even greater appreciation for that privilege now.
Is the adrenaline lessened somewhat by not having supporters around for this championship? There's nothing you guys can do about that, but I'm just thinking in Mayo, you've got some of the most passionate supporters around the country who follow you everywhere you go. It's going to be very unusual playing championship games over the next 5-6 weeks without having them there with you.
It is, yeah, it is going to be different. It's hard to know what effect that will have on teams. I'm sure we will miss that rush of adrenaline when you hear the crowd roaring after a big turnover or a big goal. But the flip side is, you know, after a miss or a wide or a mistake, you're not going to hear the collective groan and maybe colourful language that you would at other times. So, look, I think it's about adapting, being able to motivate yourself, being able to get yourself right and just, yeah, deal with it and not be relying on external factors like the crowd to get you going because they won't be there.
Yeah, well, you've had a couple of weeks to get used to it. You've played one and had to watch one, but even you take your great rivals Galway a couple of weeks ago, nobody was there. Didn't affect the quality of the game, though. Didn't affect the quality of the performance. I presume that comes down to getting inside the white lines of the pitch and then you're focusing on your job and you somewhat probably forget that you're playing in an empty stadium.
Yeah, like I think it's something you probably notice when you come into the pitch first and you're walking around. You know, you might have your headphones out. You're normally hearing the chatter of the crowd and the bit of buzz building. So I noticed it before the game. But once the game starts, for me anyway, you're so busy running around after somebody and chasing and tackling and you've got the manager roaring at you and, you know, opponents chirping and communicating. I, for one, get so caught up in that you do probably, you don't spend any time looking around in the stand anyway. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's going to affect me too much.
When you talk about, you used the word appreciation a few minutes ago about getting the chance to get out and play. Was there a fair amount of concern around your panel a couple of weeks ago when Leo Varadkar goes on the radio and says, even if it goes into level five, there's a chance the championships won't proceed in GAA? And there was so much confusion for 2 or 3 days. Eventually, it was kind of cleared up around the NEFID recommendations that the GAA would get an exemption for a championship to be able to be played. Was there concern in that kind of 72 hours or so that everything might fall apart?
I don't think there was at that stage, but I know at the beginning of the pandemic, I think we were all keeping tabs on the latest developments in WhatsApp and on, you know, news articles and stuff. But there was such a flurry of conflicting information and, you know, changes that I just got tired of trying to keep up with it all and keep tabs on everything. So I zoned out really from most of the, you know, NEFID stuff and government stuff. I knew that we'll be told when there's confirmation of a big change, whether it's cancelled or it's confirmed to go ahead, we'll be told. So, you know, I couldn't keep tabs with everything that was going on because it was changing every day. So, like I mentioned earlier, the old cliche, it was literally, I know for sure we're training on Tuesday. I'm just going to try and do well there. And if it's called off on Wednesday, so be it.
Yeah, we saw the results of the GPA survey last Friday week, and it was fairly split opinion, but around half of the players who were surveyed more than happy to go back and play. It was around a quarter who wanted changes to be made, and they're being addressed currently about universal testing. And then there was around a quarter who had reservations about the championship going ahead. Where did you sit on this? Were you always happy about the idea of going back, or did you have any reservations about proceeding into playing football this winter?
Like, I think at the beginning, I probably had some reservations because I didn't know what exactly the risk was going to be. And of course you think about your parents and you think about family members. You don't want to be reckless and you don't want to be the cause of anybody's ill health. But after the first few sessions, we were kind of a bit surprised at the level of kind of stringent measures around training, even getting used to wearing a mask from when you get out of the car at the ground, you know, bringing your own gear, your own bibs. We have our own little kind of boxes where we have to put in our boots and our own water bottles. Then having segregation in the dressing room, we have our temperature checked when we turn up and we have to sign in. We have to pre-screen an online survey about our health that day before we come to training. So we kind of quickly realized how seriously everything was being taken. Mm-hmm. Minimize risk. And once I saw that, like, we've teachers and social care workers in the group as well, from talking to them, once they were happy with the level of measures being taken, so was I.
It's not easy. I mean, this idea of basically the entire session having to be outdoors, as you say, having to modify your behavior around everything around the training ground, things you wouldn't have even thought about, huddles before, you know, how long you're spending in close contact with other players in the middle of a session, 15 players in the pod. But I guess all these kind of changes you have to make are the things you have to do to make sure things continue.
Oh, it's a no-brainer. I mean, the first session we had to do it was a bit strange. But literally after the first session, we've been doing it now for so many sessions that it's second nature now. You know, you just come through the gate, you have your mask on, your temperature is taken, you sign in, you have your survey filled out that morning, you know your seat where you're allowed to leave your bag, you take your tray out to the sideline, you do your stretching separately from everybody else and the session starts. So it's second nature now, but it was strange the first few sessions.
I'd imagine that puts a lot of pressure back onto your COVID officer, your management team, to make sure that everything is right. We've had a few stories, you know, over the last few weeks between the Offaly hurling panel and who was deemed close contact and casual contacts, and Roscommon on the bus and the Antrim hurlers. And I guess as this kind of all ramps up and as we get closer to championship, you're going to hear these stories. But the last thing people want would be an entire panel ruled out because of some kind of silly mistake that you might make at training or on the way to games. It's one of those things where you probably need a very strong COVID officer and management team to make sure everything is above board and that that's not going to be a problem if, and touch wood, nobody does, if someone in your panel was to pick up COVID-19.
Exactly. And I think it's fair to say, you can ask anyone on our squad, the COVID officer is certainly taking it very serious. I guess the very first session, we mightn't have really been aware of everything we had to do. I won't say it was a bit of a novelty at the beginning. Mm. But when we spoke to the COVID officer and the team doctor, who actually sits on the National Advisory Board for GAA as well, and we saw how serious they were, and there was no joking around, that kind of had a fairly strong impact on us from the first session out. So after that, it was just get on board. And I don't think there should be stigma around, you know, who contracts COVID or whatever, you know. But you've said it there, you don't want to be the cause of a squad having to isolate or five players having to isolate. So there's definitely a motivation from players to be responsible, to do their bit and just minimize risk and follow the really strict guidelines that we are under.
The GPA made a push for the GAA's advisory board to go off and find a company to do rapid testing of all the panels around the country. Is it something that you welcome to? I know it's not ideal that some teams had championship last weekend and there was league on and so on, but is it something that you welcome that all the panels across the country are now going to be able to avail of a rapid test and at least there'll be some kind of baseline early in the year?
Yeah, so I saw that mentioned during the week, and I think it's probably a positive development. Well, it is a positive development. I know the GPA have been in regular contact with players since the beginning, and they've been, you know, I suppose really to the fore of the whole player group to make sure that everything is being looked after. I don't know the finer details of the rapid testing system and how exactly it'll be implemented, but it sounds like a positive development. And look, anything that minimises the risk and you know, of any serious public health concerns is going to be a positive. And while we all want the championship and we're determined to see it through and make sure there's no teams taken away from the championship or whatever, public health is number one, and I think we all know that.
Yeah, when it comes to this championship structure, you've had both sides. I mean, there was years when first half of this decade, Mayo were dominating the Connacht Championship and you'd long breaks between winning your province and then the knockout stages of the All-Ireland. You've had some years recently where it was week-on-week qualifiers and having to come through that. I would imagine this championship is a bit closer to those qualifier years where you've got week-on-week matches. How do you feel about everything being played out in just over a month and potentially getting ready for whoever the last two are standing for an All-Ireland final on the week before Christmas?
Yeah, that's a nice thought. I think that's a nice thought. Having that headache on Christmas week would certainly be a good problem. I think it's exciting for players. I have never spoken to a player who didn't like the idea of playing matches regularly. I definitely would be a fan of having matches in kind of condensed calendar like this. Week on week is probably a bit tight. You know, if there was an extra week here or there, it'll probably be welcomed, but obviously time doesn't allow that. It probably just increases the importance of recovery after training sessions, hydration before sessions, your flexibility work, the stuff that is important all the time, but even more so now, if you get a muscle strain, or even if you pick up a bug or you're sick, you miss one or two sessions, you could be out of the team, you could miss a game, and your championship could be over. So I know I enjoy the fact that there's going to be the calendar is quite condensed, and if you have the headache of lots of matches in succession, it means you're winning. So it's a good problem to have.
Well, this weekend begins the journey to potentially win another Connacht title when you take on Leitrim. Were you happy to see the provincial championships retained? Because those of us in the media were doing our absolute best to try and argue for a Champions League format this year. You know, given it was so unusual, this was the one year where it could have been trialled. Do you think there was merit in keeping the provincials around, or would you have enjoyed playing something across various different groups and a different structure for the year that's in it?
Yeah, I think I saw different ideas floated online, and I think that's a really exciting one, the championship or the Champions League format, you know, not knowing what team you could be playing in the first round, or, you know, the different seasons and stuff like that. I'd be open to any of those kind of championships. I think they're really exciting ideas. Now, if there was championship games and they were distributed all over the country, as it turns out now, and there was travel up and down, that might have its own issues at the moment. But having said that, I won't say we, but I certainly love playing in the Connacht Championship. You know, I grew up watching Mayo and Galway and Roscommon in particular, you know, battling it out across the late 90s. You know, they would have been the players you grew up watching and idolising. So, you know, Tuam, the Old Hyde, McHale Park, they're the places that I was taken off and loaded up and driven off to as a child. So I have a particular grow for those kind of occasions. So I do really value the Connacht Championship and the Nestor Cup. You know, if we could get our hands on it again, I'd be one happy man. But I do think COVID has given an opportunity for these conversations, maybe in this off season now, to see you know, is there better ways we can do it?
The other conversation that's happened all year has been the club county debate and what could potentially happen. I think it's next month that Central Council are due to get the findings about the idea of a split season and having the club in one half of the year and county on the other half. You've been balancing the last few years between your club and the county. This year we got, you know, a club only month and a bit because of just the circumstances of things. How would you feel about the idea of the seasons being split, or would your preference be for the way it's been in most years where county plays to a point and then club comes back in and county returns? What's your own take on it?
Look, I'm sure there's administrative problems to splitting the season, or obstacles, we call it, that make it difficult. But in the last few years, there was always debates and there was always arguments in other counties as well about, you know, do the clubs have access to county players in the spring? Are we going to have a club championship round played in April? Are we going to have two played? And then if we played a few and we picked up a lot of injuries from the Mayo squad, then there was a bit of pushback. And that debate seemed to be raging on at the same time every year. So I definitely think, yeah, if there was scope to have a split season, that didn't impinge on fixtures elsewhere and could be run off without, you know, overcrowding the calendar somewhere else, I think it'll be a positive. You know, I'm not probably privy to all the accidental consequences that would have on other parts of the calendar, but having an extended run at your club also brings its own advantages. You get to spend time with your club mates that you love playing with, you grew up with, and you know inside out. You get to know their tendencies and habits and stuff, and you build a better sense of camaraderie in a club before the championship, as opposed to just being landed back a week before championship, having not seen the lads for 3 months.
Yeah, because even just talking to a few managers in club championships during the summer, they were saying that's something their county players actually enjoyed, that once upon a time there was a certain us versus them about it. They knew that they had a handful of elite players that were away with the county. They parachute back in close enough to championship. Well, this time around, there was the few weeks before the season came back where they were able to integrate in with their club. They were available all the time to be ready for the club. And even I think some players enjoyed that, to actually have that little bit of extra time with the lads they were going to play with for however long they were in their local championship for.
Exactly. Like I'm sure there's county players who come up the ranks with their club to go off to play for the county, and they only get to come back a week before the championship game each year. You do lose touch with your teammates. You don't get to know the young guy who's just come out of minor in the club. You know, you lose that bond and that kind of sense of camaraderie, and that does have an effect on the pitch, I think. And also, as you said, if you're coming back from the county setup a week before the championship and you're parachuted into the team, or say three of you are parachuted into the team, there's three club guys who have been training and playing and starting all year who are suddenly demoted, put back on the bench, and they have to just bow to these three county lads who haven't actually proven themselves in the club training sessions. They haven't been there in the club environment to prove themselves, but I suppose in another way they have with the county. Whereas this year you had a chance to be with your club and to be proving yourself in training with the club. Week on week, so you felt more worthy of your place in a way. So there's definitely benefits to that kind of a season, but again, you know, I don't envy the guys who have to pull every bit of information around all the different fixtures, age groups, and set it out. So hopefully the conversation is getting somewhere, though, probably as a knock-on of COVID.
In terms of where Mayo's form is at, last weekend was a thriller against Tyrone. Either team could have realistically won. He played particularly well the week before against Galway, especially in that first half. Given that it's taken some teams a little bit of time to click, and managers have been saying the last couple of weekends, you know, we've only had four or five collective sessions and it's hard to get back to the level, was there a pleasing feeling within the panel to come off at halftime in that Galway game having played as well as you did?
Otherwise, it was a great sense of satisfaction. You know, there was a bit of a step into the unknown about the Galway match because we had been so long since we last played. So there was definitely satisfaction that a few things we'd been working on went quite well. Now, it was probably a combination of things as well. I know Galway picked up a few early injuries and had to jig around their team a little bit. Since the club championships, they lost a couple of players. So, you know, it was a one-off game, we call it, you know, in June. It went well for us. We took our positives. Again, our focus turned to Tyrone straight away afterwards. And like I mentioned earlier, we did the same with Tyrone game. Scored 119, we pleased with that. Conceded 314, two goals in the first half. Won a really bad time. So had to learn, how can we, you know, minimise the risk of that happening again? Mm-hmm. And then park it. So there's definitely positive in the last couple of weeks, but because it's knockout, it does all come down to who can execute better now next Sunday.
My final question stems from a joke that I think half the country made when we found out we were going to have a championship with no supporters, and that was people went, this will be the very year that Mayo break their weight and win the championship with nobody there to watch them do it. Would it matter a toss, given that you guys have waited since the 1950s, that this group of players particularly have been to the dance so often and missed out so narrowly on lifting Sam Maguire? If you're standing there in Croke Park on the Saturday before Christmas with the Sam Maguire, would it make any difference to you if there's nobody there to see it?
Oh, I think, look, it'd be totally different. For whatever team wins the championship, it'll be a different experience. But I think what we've thought about over the last few months is, let's just strip it back. Let's just take what we know is happening. We have a game on this date. We've just been focusing on, let's try and max out for that day that we're playing. And if we win on Sunday, let's try and max out the week after. And that's what we're trying to get our satisfaction out of. Just internally, we know we're playing really well. We're doing our job. We're backing up our teammates. And look, I think if we have that sense at the end of the season that we've maxed out and we've played really well and we've left no stone unturned, I think that'd be satisfaction enough for me. And I certainly wouldn't feel any way diminished.
And you wouldn't miss out on the celebrations either. I'm sure you'd find some time to celebrate it if Sam found its way over the Shannon.
When safe to do so, I'm sure whoever wins will do it.
Killian, thanks a million for joining us. Don't forget, folks, AIB sponsoring this year's All-Ireland Senior Football Championships. Killian, best of luck with your journey for both the Nestor and also for the Sam Maguire when you go to Leitrim this weekend.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
That was the Championship's top scorer, Killian O'Connor. We'll take a short break and we'll be back and off the ball after these.